Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse number 7. Paul, writing to the Christians in Ephesus, writes, "But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men." What does "he ascended" mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Church, hopefully we are learning that the work of the church is a team experience. It's a team sport, if you will. Hopefully we have learned by now that one man or one woman or a few men and a few women can't do all that is necessary in the kingdom of God. Hopefully we are beginning to affirm collectively as a body that in the church, the more people that God equips for works of service, the more opportunities there are for us to impact this world for Jesus Christ. And so in the body of Christ, it does not become the role of others in the body of Christ discouraging works of service, but encouraging works of service. It becomes one of the goals of a servant leader, to empower others to serve. And if a servant leader immerses himself in empowering others to serve, he will equally immerse himself in the desire for others to grow, to commit to a way that is committed to the involvement, development, and growth of others. It's to acknowledge Paul's words from the text this morning when he says, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." There is an acknowledgement of a powerful spiritual reality that we have in the body of Christ, that each one of us has been blessed by and with the grace of God. It is this grace that frees us, and it saves us. It is this grace that moves us and compels us. It is this grace that teaches us to deny ungodliness. It is this grace that gives us fuel for our journey. We are not a collection of individuals ill-equipped for the task set before us. We are a body and a unit who lives and resides in the grace of God. And if you haven't taken time to thank God for his grace, you just ought to this morning. Spend more time thinking about God for his amazing grace. Spend more time meditating on what it means to live under the law of grace. And spend more time understanding that if you find joy in the grace of God, then others might find that same joy, then we ought to share it. Right, Todd? This is the ministry of Jesus, who came to this earth to offer his grace to its inhabitants. And the ministry of Christ is one that understood that the inclusion of others would be key and vital to his mission. And thus, It is going to be key and vital to our mission. Jesus set the standard as Paul reflects on Jesus' ministry by writing these words that we just read. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It was Christ that gave some to be apostles or special messengers or missionaries that are given in the early church the authority to lead and to bring people and set precedents for the church that was young and in its infant stage. It was Christ who gave some to be prophets or those entrusted with speaking God's prophetic word or simply preaching. Every time you hear the word prophecy, don't always think someone is going to tell the future or give some prediction. Prophecy in its most basic sense meant the preaching of God's word. Evangelists or those given a commission to travel around to establish and maintain congregations of the Lord's church and pastors or those given the responsibility to shepherd and care for the souls within the body through prayer and the wisdom of God and teachers, those gifted at communicating the doctrine, the great truth and spiritual insights of Jesus Christ. And Christ gave these responsibilities as a way to prepare his people for works of service in the kingdom. In an effort to achieve unity, to reinforce our common confession of God's love and God's reign in this world, and not only his reign in this world, but his reign in our lives. And ultimately, we grow and we mature. It is a goal for us to grow up, not to get stuck on dogma or schemes, but to be built up in Jesus Christ. For Paul and other leaders in the early church, growth and maturity were important. The text goes on to read, "Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." What Christ is doing in us leads us to speak truth in love as we honor the head of this body, that is Jesus Christ. And don't miss this. We are built up in love as each part does its work. As each part does its work. You see, that phrase assumes that the body of Christ is not made up of some who will work and others who do not. As each part does its work assumes that each part is doing something, and each part understand that doing something isn't optional. It is foundational to the plight of the kingdom of God in this world. In other words, this is not a sit here and do nothing church. This is a where I fit in and how do I use the gifts that God has given me for his glory church. If this is the type of church we aspire to be, then we need to understand the place of the growth of others as it pertains to servant leadership. If we could allow ourselves to be confessional here, this is one of the areas that I think we have made so many mistakes when it comes to leadership. In our historical context, Churches of Christ, we have allowed the discussion about elders, shepherds to be dominated by issues of what power the elders or shepherds have. As such, there's an expectation of elders and shepherds that they will tell us what to do or tell us what not to do. That the role of elders has been relegated to solving problems, setting policy, making sure the church gets out on time, making sure the youth minister doesn't act way too off whack, right? Now, I'm not here to suggest that elders or shepherds should not involve themselves in those types of decisions. I am suggesting that when we read scripture, When it comes to elders and shepherds and who are servant leaders, their role, as suggested by Scripture, is spiritual growth and maturity. Thus, they are committed to helping members grow. Did you hear some of those phrases in Ephesians? Built up, become mature, no longer infants. We will grow up, build itself up in love. All these phrases come from this text, and all these phrases hints to us that the goal of spiritual leadership, the goal of servant leadership, isn't so that we can say that we have leaders in place. It's not so that we can have people in place to tell us what to do. It's not so that we'll have people in place to tell us what color to paint these walls or what type of carpet to get. The goal of having servant leadership is so that everyone in this body, every single person, will grow up in Jesus Christ. The goal is spiritual maturity. We aim to mature in Christ and thus living a life worthy of our calling. Maturing in Christ, thus being, as the text says, completely humble and gentle, being patient, bearing with one another in love. Maturing in Christ, thus making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Maturing in Christ, thus being able to hold fast the confession of oneness, one that says there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Elders and shepherds have not been given a bullet point list of what decisions to make or not to make. They have been given this principle of working together with the body, not as power brokers or power grabbers, but as co-laborers in the ministry of Christ, as fellow servants who are decidedly committed to the other's well-being, other's participation, and other's growth. Deacons or ministry leaders are decidedly committed to growth, and so they serve with that intent, not as hot dogs or as a way to say, look at my ministry or look at what I do. Hopefully they aspire to say, look at what God is doing in us and with us. Look at how the grace of God is activated in our lives. Look at how God is growing his ministry on earth through us. This is why I have said in the past that the role and function of elder, bishops, or pastors, deacons, evangelists, is not for those who are power hungry. Can you see why this role, these roles are not for people who have agendas? Can you see why these roles are not for those who don't want to commit? Can you see why these roles should be respected by the entire body? Can you see why filling these roles must be bathed in prayer and some more prayer, and then we even pray some more, and then we pray some more? Can you see why many of our churches get leadership wrong? Can you see why, someone who is a capable leader in the secular business world might not make a good leader in the church? And can you see that someone who might be a terrible leader in a secular world might make a pretty good leader in the church? If it is an ideal in our body that we have servant leaders who are committed to others and committed to humility and committed to empowering others to serve and committed to the growth of others, we need to invoke an additional core ideal that says that if we have servant leaders, we will have servant followers. It's almost an easy discussion to have, to talk about what it means to be a good leader. But very seldom do we talk about what it means to be a good follower. As servant followers, we are not consumed with what others can be or what they should be, before we first consider what God has called us to be. Going back to Ephesians 4, starting at verse 11 again, says it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You know, that's a passage that we've kind of wrangled and sometimes we've messed up because we've gone to that passage and we looked at those roles at the top there and we've exhausted ourselves in trying to define what these roles are. And we've used that passage for some churches to say that you've got to have all of those roles in the church. You've got to have apostles. You've got to have prophets. You've got to have evangelists. You've got to have teachers. And then you say, well, we don't have any more apostles. And then, you know, prophets, well, we really don't have prophets. So we got to have evangelists and we got to have pastors and we got to have teachers. And we debate and we fight all over that. And we're missing the point. The point is not having all these roles. The point is that we grow up. The point is that we understand that those positions, those roles, those offices, if you will, are gifts to the body to help us grow up. And then we miss it again when all we do is focus on, well, who can be this and who can be that and who can be that? Without doing this, go to that next slide. Oh yeah, this slide here. It was he who gave some to be. That's a phrase that in the past several years has become very important to me. And I hope it becomes important to this church. Because before you start trying to identify who are these, how about consider this for yourself? What has God called you to be? What has God called you to be in this body of Christ? What has God called you to be in the context of the kingdom of God as it's played out through the Reynoldsburg Church? How has God gifted you? What talent has God given you? What corner of the earth has God given you? What has God called you to be? That will, in turn, cause us to grow up. That will cause us to be united. That will cause us to measure up to the fullness of Christ. That will cause us to speak the truth in love. That will cause us not to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. What has God called you to be? Our conversation dialogue about servant leader is an important one. It's a timely one. It's a one that our church needs to have as we continue to forge the narrative that God is writing for this body. And yes, we're going to enter into a process sometime. I don't know the date, church. I don't know. I can't tell you September we're going to start. I can't tell you December. I can't tell you July. I don't know when that is. When God says so and we hear it as a body that we need to do it, we're going to do it. That's the time frame. So it's a good discussion to have. But we cannot have that discussion fully until we individually start to take some responsibility and take some ownership and grasp an understanding that God wants everyone in here to do something. The church grows as each part does its work. So if you have an attitude, I'll just let I'll let them people handle that part of it. It's the wrong attitude. We need everybody. I'll let some people go to the family meeting. They can hash that stuff out. I'll just wait for the results and be a benefit of it. Doesn't work that way. Because you know what happens when that happens? You know, you don't come to the family meeting, you're not a part of it, a decision is made. I can't believe they made that decision. The body will grow when each part does its work. So church, as we sit here as we've just had an experience in worship where we have sung to God and expressed what's in our hearts to Him and laid that out before God. I want you to continue to lay that heart out before God. And I want you to consider, what has God called you to be? Maybe He's called you to fit one of those roles that we talk about in Ephesians here. Maybe He's called you to fulfill your purpose in displaying a gift that we find in other places like 1 Corinthians or Romans 12. Maybe He's called you to be more vocal about the grace that's in your life. Maybe He's called you to be a champion for unity. Maybe He's called you to be a voice of justice. Whatever God has called you to be, we want you to know that as a body here, we're not going to stand in the way of God's calling. In fact, we're going to pray, we're going to support, and we're going to surround you so that you will grow up, and so that I will grow up, so that April will grow up, and Bill will grow up, and Vicky will grow up, and Donna will grow up, and Jean will grow up, and Keith will grow up, and Khaki will grow up. Because as servants, we're committed to the growth of others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your amazing grace and Your amazing love. And thank You for this collection of saints in this room, collection of bodies in this room, collection of hearts in this room. God, we pray that You would overwhelm us with an understanding that we can do kingdom work, that the best way to do kingdom work, that the way to do kingdom work in Your mind, in Your heart, is to do it together, to do it in the context of a united body, to do it in a context where everyone does their part. So, Father, I pray that You would give us clarity, that You would give us better understanding of what this means in this body, that You would help those who have been reluctant to stand up and to live Your call and to follow Your call. God, we pray that You would not only give them the courage, but give us the opportunities to surround them and to encourage them, and to impress upon them that we want them to grow, that we want to grow, that we want this body to grow. Father, may the church cease from being a sit-on-the-sideline church, that it will become a church where everyone is in the game. Father, I want to take this time to thank You for all the various gifts and talents that we see here in this body. Father, I pray that we will have a better appreciation of that, that we would not just embody that, but we'd be vocal about it, that we would, God, that we would create a culture where we tell people, tell one another how thankful we are for their gifts and their talents. And God, as we seek to get servant leaders in place in official capacities, Father, may we not be marred by our past history of maybe doing things carelessly or not giving much thought to it, but that we would embrace Scripture, that we would embrace experience, that we would be willing to allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit. Thank You. We praise You for the body of Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. If there's anything that we can do for you as a church, the ministry of prayer is a ministry that I think we all should be involved in, whether that's official or unofficial. But if there's anything that we can do for you in praying for you, we will surround you. If you want to come forward as we're singing this next song, about our common love and our common story. We would love the opportunity to surround you and pray for you for whatever is on your heart. If you have been considering giving your life to Jesus Christ, or you want to learn more about what that means, you want to become a sold out disciple of Jesus Christ, we would love to have that conversation with you as well. If any of those fit you where you are right now, we want you to come as we sing this song, Selected. Justin.